Sinners, choosers, lovers, dreamers, hypocrites, cynical bastards, and everyone who knows to surrender to the flow, welcome to Choose Your Own Religion. My name is Joe. Thank you guys for tuning in this week. This is a show where me and a guest talk about whatever religious stuff we had when we were younger and older and all in between. We talk about whatever we believe now or what we practice now, if anything, and we make up a brand new religion right on the spot. That's exactly what we did with my guest this week, Ahmed Barucha, who just released a Comedy Central half hour and his first album, Almond Badoody, which you can find on iTunes. You can also check it out on his site, ahmedbarucha.com. If you don't know how to spell the name, read the title of this. I've got it for you right here. And I want to thank Ahmed for coming on. It was great to hear that album. Known Ahmed as an acquaintance over the years and always admired him from afar. Always a class act and really, really nice guy and really talented guy as long as I've known him out here. And the album's great, especially if you're a fan of this podcast. In the album, he has a lot of religious stuff that I think definitely highlights some of the absurdities that a lot of us have seen throughout the years. But there's also just an underlying love and compassion behind it all, too, that I think really comes through as we talk more about his upbringing, because I didn't know much about it. So it was great to hear more about that. So check out that stuff. And if you like this show, go to ChooseYourOwnReligion.com. You can also find the Facebook page, iTunes, Stitcher. And if anything resonated with you or if there's anything you want me to keep talking about, please send me an email, joe@joequint.net. I would love to hear from you guys, and I've loved hearing from y'all who have reached out. And I'm also really excited that this is the 50th episode of this podcast. And it's been almost a year because there's 52 weeks in a year, so you can do the math there. And I've really felt like I've learned a lot and grown a lot. I hope you, as a listener, have felt that I have. I've certainly grown a lot in my podcasting equipment. And I hope I can continue growing and seeking and failing a lot in whatever my quote-unquote spiritual path is. And I hope this has helped some of you figure out some of your own thing. Because I don't have any answers, as has been evident really the entire time. So thank you guys so much for listening and giving me an opportunity and a venue to talk about this stuff. So, anyway, thank you so much for making it a great year for me. And that's going to be it for this week's rant. So please, surrender to the flow and give it up for Ahmed Barucha.
Allow the soothing music and uplifting affirmations to center your heart and mind in an awareness of God's love.
Wake up, my dear sinners. Wake up from your deep rest. Won't you say your prayers and know that you are blessed? I love you, oh, but Jesus loves you the best. And I hope that you choose your own religion.
By the way, I'm just going to kick off recording now.
Oh, sure.
So just dive right in, if that's cool.
Yeah.
Is it, so your first both album and special
Almond out? Yeah, Almond Badoody is the album, and then the half hour special is just a half hour on Comedy Central.
Right. Yeah. Just listened to the album. It's
oh,
great.
You did? Oh, yeah, wow. Thanks, man. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
And before, because you said you put out a thing where like, hey, if I can I'd be on somebody's podcast or whatever just to help promote it. And I was like, yeah, of course. And then come to find out, the album has a lot of religious stuff kind of on it. So that was
this is the one podcast I was most excited for. I was like, oh, I feel like the listeners would really, there's a lot of religious stuff on the album. So
yeah. Also, but before even getting into that, is it just like, how is it weird or surreal, like having like a Comedy Central half hour come out and like an album out there?
The half hour is definitely one of the most surreal moments of my career because it was what kind of got me into stand-up was those half hours.
Right, yeah.
You know, that was kind of the introduction of stand-up when I was a kid.
Me too.
Like the stuff on Comedy Central and the half hours and the premium blends and the...
Yeah, I remember taking like a vacation trip with some friends and his family and we had our own hotel room and that was the first... It was like late night and we were able to watch like Comedy Central half hours.
Yeah.
Like the way back in the day with like the jazz music and
everything on it. So that was really cool. It was kind of full circle for me.
Oh, that's awesome, man. And and you talk about on the album that your mom is Irish Catholic, your dad's Pakistani Muslim.
Yeah.
Quite a combo.
Yeah.
as you get into. Now I'm curious, because you like you talk a good amount about it, but you don't necessarily get down to the specifics of like growing up with that.
Yeah, yeah.
So did you? Were you growing up? Would you go to? I mean, would you go to church?
Or? Yeah, we were mainly raised Catholic. We went to Catholic school, mm-hmm. and we go to church most Sundays.
Okay.
For a while, though, my mom wasn't too like strict about going to church because she worked a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times she would say, like, it was like the weekend where she's been working all week, and she's like, "Well, God knows when you're tired."
Yeah.
So she was never like super hardcore about church, although uh-huh. my grandmother was. So my mom would always say, "Tell Granny we went to church,"
mm-hmm.
which I don't know if that's extra bad lying about going to church, but
oh, I think there's my mom always had she was always fine with keeping Grandma in the dark about certain things.
If she asked you went to church today,
yeah, exactly. So yeah, so you're not going every week, but you're going.
Yeah, so we're going a lot in the Christmas and Catholic school, so we were taking like religion class.
Yeah,
and then we did kind of learn a little bit about Islam mm-hmm. and. We didn't eat pork for my dad.
Okay.
And sometimes relatives would come over, so you'd all do like the prayer together.
Sure, yeah.
You all get on the rugs and uh-huh. kind of do
face
different
Mecca.
Prayers. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I never totally knew the order of everything, so I was uh-huh. always kind of just peeking over to the guy next to me.
Oh, right, because there's a specific like routine of it.
But what's weird is at a certain point, a few people branch off and start doing their own thing,
mm-hmm.
and I would never know who I was, like, am I supposed to do what that guy's doing, or am I supposed to do what this guy's doing?
Yeah.
And I'm trying to, like, decipher. I'm like, well, that guy's the oldest. I'm the oldest son.
She
Maybe
seems
I do
really
what
into
doing.
It.
Yeah. And you're like, oh, wait, but this guy, he's the oldest. He's not doing it.
Yeah.
I'm like, what's the connection? Why? And then I later found out, I think it was people who were traveling, maybe,
uh-huh.
or something like that, where it's like, oh, they're doing their extra, like, traveling prayers.
Oh, okay.
And I, like, so if I was copying them, I was shown to be a fraud.
This guy's at home.
Yeah,
he's a liar. So then I take it, because I'm curious. Obviously, if you went to Catholic school, your dad wouldn't. And if your dad married an Irish Catholic,
yeah.
he's not super intense.
No, I mean they both definitely still follow their own religions mm-hmm. and are pretty faithful.
Yeah,
but not very militant about their faith, I guess.
Yeah,
obviously they married someone who didn't believe in their same faith.
Yeah.
But so yeah, it was kind of weird that they were both still pretty religious and pretty open to other religions.
Yeah.
Which is kind of just how I always thought it was.
Right.
Until I grew older. Like, I didn't think that yeah. it was a thing to fight about.
Yeah, you're like, no, obviously everybody just gets along
yeah.
and respects each other's thing.
You find the way you want to worship something and just yeah. be good, and then it'll work out.
I mean, what, you're right. Like, what did your parents then, what would they teach you about, like, would they say, like, oh, we're worshiping the same God, but in different ways?
Or? Yeah, and that's how, and it's kind of pretty easy, it's an easy fix, because if you read the Bible and the Quran, they're the same stories and everything.
Right.
So it's
Abraham.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just kind of branches off of, I think it's maybe Abraham or Moses, someone's mm-hmm. kid. For Jews and Muslims, they just, one of, like, the yeah. Jews follow the blood, like, the mm-hmm. the kid he had with his wife. And then yep. the Muslims follow, like, the kid he had first with, like, his maid or
Ishmael.
Something.
Ishmael.
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah.
And so it's basically the same up until that, and it's all the same concept. So it already does feel like it's the same God with mm-hmm. just a different language.
Yeah, you know? Well, and I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, if you know, but I think, because Muslims revere Jesus as a prophet himself.
Yeah, they do believe in yeah. him. They just don't, like, think he's the son of God.
Right, and they're like, oh, and we got this extra cool shit from
yeah.
Muhammad
yeah.
on top of it a couple of hundred years later.
He's the guy.
Yeah, but your dad was definitely, obviously, he was intense enough to not want to eat pork.
Yeah, so he never eat pork, and mm-hmm. he was still pretty, like, strict in the sense of, like, just being a strict dad.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't let me date when I was, like, in high school.
Interesting.
Remember my mom told me no, and I was like, oh, just wait for dad to come home.
Right.
And I was like, it was like freshman or sophomore in high school, and I'm like, Dad, I want to ask this girl on a date. And he was like, no. But he's like, you like girls? And I was like, yeah. He goes, good, but no.
But what if? No.
Yeah, I know. I was like, what? So, yeah, he's definitely pretty strict and trying to keep us sheltered or, like, mm-hmm. nervous about drugs or women or...
Yeah, same here. My dad is a Presbyterian minister.
Okay.
So we were definitely... And my mom was probably even more religious than he was in terms of, like, really, like, being intense with, like, trying to follow the rules of it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I do you feel like then you had, like, a kind of sheltered life up until college?
Yeah,
or?
I think... Well, Yeah, I don't know. Maybe, yeah, sheltered and also just kind of, yeah, I'd say sheltered.
Protected.
Yeah, protected. More like there's a little, like, sheltered almost sounds like I never saw the bad things.
Right.
So I did see the stuff, like, in school and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I just had this, like, kind of overlying, like, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do the bad things.
Sure, yeah.
Mom and Dad say don't do the bad things.
Mm-hmm. Would that, did that ever create, like, I mean, do you think you were, like, a good rules follower, or were you more of the, took the rebel route?
I was a pretty good rule follower. The only thing I really would get in trouble for in school was, like, talking too much.
Uh-huh.
But I never really, I wouldn't steal, and I wouldn't, I guess I would cheat on some tests sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that,
it's like an answer
but I never
to,
like, yeah. Maybe that never really got caught or anything. Yeah. But I wouldn't, like, I didn't want to be a troublemaker.
Yeah, same
I didn't
here.
Like getting in trouble.
Same here, totally. And I was, actually, it's funny you mentioned the not talking thing. What if, like, you know how you have, like, weird selective memories from, like, when you were younger? Like,
yeah.
For me, it's like, there's like five scenes from when I was, like, 5 years old that I remember.
Where did that come from? Why is that there
like,
in my brain?
Yeah, why did I care about that
one?
But one was, I was, like, at a lunch, and we were talking too loud at my table, and they were just like, all right, so the rest of your lunch is silent lunch or whatever. Like, that's our punishment.
Okay.
Silent lunch. And so my way to get around it was to, like, because the teacher would then sit, like, you know, 30 yards away or whatever. So I was like, I would mime talking as if I was talking, but I wasn't saying anything. So I actually was following the rules.
Yeah.
But then she thought I was breaking it. So then I got put in detention or whatever. I'm like, why did I?
Yeah.
Oh, the stupid rebellion.
The mime.
The rebellion to actually
follow
the rules.
The only person to get detention for miming.
Yeah. probably. Unless you were, like, at mime school.
Yeah.
And you're just a bad mime. And you start talking at mime school.
And also, I guess I didn't do my homework a lot.
Oh,
I wasn't
yeah.
like a great student, but I don't think I was a troublemaker.
Mm.
Like, I wouldn't, like, pull the fire alarm or like fight like another kid.
Uh huh. But do you, I'm going to, this is just a total stab in the dark, so I could be wrong. But was it like were you not a great student in the sense that you were kind of like, who cares about this stuff? Or?
A little bit, who cares? A little bit. I think I had, like, attention problems,
mm-hmm.
and I was diagnosed at one point with ADD,
mm-hmm.
but I'm sure half of the country is. But, yeah, so a lot of it was just almost sometimes not feeling like I probably wasn't smart enough. like sometimes, I mean, I don't think I'm stupid, but I wasn't a good student.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have, like, the attention for, like, a class. So, yeah, a little bit, like, who cares?
Yeah.
Like, not, like, I wanted to get good grades. I thought that would have been great,
mm-hmm.
but that went out the window when there was something funny happening or there was a friend or I went home and there was video games or TV or playing and I just kind of not do my homework
mm-hmm.
or a lot of times I would half do my homework and then feel embarrassed about how bad it was or if I didn't know the right answers and then just not hand it in.
Interesting. Yeah. Cause it's like not going to the dentist.
Yeah.
So you don't have to face like whatever.
It's
the
all
thing
crumpled
is.
Up. You're like, I don't want to give him this. Put it in the bottom of my backpack for
you have
a
to
week.
Uncrumple it. So wait, and you were, I think you mentioned on your special too, that you went to college for theater.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I started as an engineer.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Cause I was good at math and science.
Okay. Yeah.
Especially when I moved actually when I stopped going to Catholic school, I got better grades. I went
mm-hmm.
to public school and
mm-hmm.
I don't know if maybe it was like the one less religion class and the one more focused on like, just get the grades up.
Yeah.
I liked public school. Actually, I've always heard like, oh, Catholic school or like private school is more.
Like rigorous.
Just a better school. But I kind of felt like I had more help at the public school.
Interesting.
Or that was also like there was like a study session. So it was like,
mm-hmm.
for this hour, you get to do your homework,
mm-hmm.
which I wouldn't do it at home. And I would come do it in the school. I was like, oh, it's perfect.
Yeah. Wait, and at Catholic school, was it one where you had to like every day there was a mass or something or some, maybe not full on mass.
It was every week, but I don't think once a week, I think we went to church.
Uh-huh.
But there was also every day, like you had religion, like you have math. Science, religion mm-hmm. class.
Interesting.
And sometimes it was like a priest that would teach you.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes it was just a regular teacher that was like telling you stories from the Bible. I can't. I mean, I barely paid attention to any class, and I definitely didn't pay attention to religion class. But I did actually believe when I was a kid. I was pretty faithful, I think. I prayed. And I don't think I was ever strict in the sense where I would judge anyone else for not believing,
mm-hmm.
but I just did think like, oh, you know, there's a God and
yeah,
which I'm still not completely not believing in things like that, but mm-hmm. just not as much as I did when I was a kid.
Yeah. That's interesting. I haven't thought about it that way. Cause I was definitely like full on into it throughout high school.
Yeah.
But that was almost like a natural childlike thing to not be judgmental, I think.
Yeah. And it wasn't something I was preaching. I wasn't going around like, have you heard about God? You know, it was a thing I thought was real. And
yeah,
I was like, yeah, okay, that makes sense. There's someone made us and they're watching us and making sure we be good.
Right. Yeah. So you don't have like a lot of, I mean, with Catholics, there's often, it's stereotypical, but I've found it to be true. There's like a lot of guilt.
I think I do have that. I still have the guilt, and which I think you just from both parents of constantly being like, this is wrong, this is right, this is wrong, this is right. And then they're kind of a good example of like, they work really hard. They break their backs for their kids. So then when you do something bad, it's like, I've done all this and you've forsaken me.
Right. Why have you forsaken me?
But so yeah, when I went to college though, I started with a degree in engineering
because
I always wanted to do acting. Mm-hmm. But I thought, oh, I'll get like a regular job and that will support my acting.
Right.
And kind of early on, I realized that's not really how it would work. You can't really focus on acting when you're doing engineering, which is taking up all your time.
Yeah.
And so I tried to, I came home after the first year of college and told my mom, I was like, I don't want to be an engineer major. And she said, okay, what do you want to do? And I was like, I want to be a theater major. And she's like, no. It's funny because she's an artist. She went to art school.
Oh, that's so funny.
She graduated with degree like, in painting. She's like, no. And my older sister was a film major.
Really?
So it was so funny that she was like, no.
We've tried this twice in this family.
It's not going to work. You have to have something that makes money.
Yeah.
And so I just kind of stuck it out for a little while.
Uh-huh.
And then slowly stopped going to engineering classes. And I was taking theater classes on the side.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was actually like senior year was when I really
declared.
Interesting. And then it took me two more senior years.
Wait, did you do high school theater or like did you do theater in high school
I did when I lived in California, the Catholic school, they had a theater program. But then when I moved halfway through high school to Rhode Island to the public school, they didn't have it. So for my last 2 years of when I probably would have been more involved.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't do it. But when I was freshman and sophomore, I was always like bit parts in the play where
I'd do
some goofy thing that they let me make up or something in the background.
And when did, so if you're going through Catholic school and then public school, you're like pretty good, like religious kid or maybe casually, but you're like into it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Believer. What, and you say you're not fully out now, but you're.
Yeah. You're, like I kind of think that maybe there's some kind of thing. I don't know if it's a god or it just seems like to me that there's something more than just dirt and people walking around. Like I think this may be something connecting all of us or
energy.
Yeah. Whatever it is.
Yeah.
Could just be a presence. Could be just other past people that are alive just kind of floating around somewhere.
Yeah. And that's like, again, I'm like shoehorning references into special, but it's on my mind. But like that's like a thing where we're all, you talk about it, like we're all just basically guessing.
Yeah.
Like what it is. Yeah. The specifics.
Nobody can prove it.
No.
And so it's silly to me when someone is so adamant about whatever they believe.
Yeah.
It's okay to believe what you believe, but when you start getting angry at someone else or thinking that when they don't think what you think that it's against you or...
Right.
I think everyone takes it very personal. If you're an atheist and someone believes, you take that personally. You're like, why do you believe? You shouldn't believe in it. It's stupid. But then if you believe and you hear someone's atheist, you're like, oh, you're a bad guy. You just don't want God to be real or something.
Yeah, like, totally. And it's you know, people talk about the internet creating echo chambers. I mean, people were always like that to some degree before
religion.
The internet. Religion.
Religion was the first Facebook.
that's true.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's so easy to get to surround yourself with. I mean, that's
Judaism
like
Judaism was Twitter and.
Right.
That's like Islam was Vine. I don't know.
Yeah, it's Vine.
Snapchat. Maybe.
Snapchat Mormons, probably. Yeah. Like, oh, that's kind of cool. Yeah. Kind of weird, though. I can't get into that one. But yeah, it's like the paradox of, because one thing I've learned through doing this podcast from people who are like either currently practicing or not practicing, whatever, is that everybody really loves the community aspect of religion. It seems like the most in that. And that's like the paradox of being around like-minded people is like, oh, it feels great to be around people who agree with you. And it's like, you know, and you find that even.
And there's a shorthand of like understood morals or something or
you know,
behavior.
And and you find that even in things like as atheistic overall as like the LA comedy scene, for instance.
Yeah.
You know, there's like a shorthand. You're right. There's just an understood like set of values or like shared history or something.
Yeah.
But that is the true, the danger, the double edged sword of that is the groupthink, is the echo chamber of that.
Yeah. Which is kind of what started slowly pushing me away from religion. Mm. Was just the,
I was going to ask you that. Yeah.
Maybe in college. I remember actually the first time I was in a theater class, and but it was like a theater gen ed, so the other people weren't theater majors either.
Mm-hmm.
And some kid was just answering a question, and he just kind of said very flatly, like, oh, you know, because God's not real, blah, 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 blah. And I remember that kind of like hit me, because I was still didn't really think anything of that he wasn't real.
Yeah.
And I was like, why did he just say that? That's weird that he said it so casually.
Yeah.
But no one else had a reaction, and I was like, oh. And so I started going like, oh, a lot of people don't believe in this.
Hmm.
And so that kind of started making me think like, well, why do I believe in it?
Yeah.
And then I was like, well, I guess I don't really have any proof or anything like that. And it's just because my parents told me that. And
mm-hmm.
and so slowly started being a little bit more open to like, oh, this could be not true.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it was a very slow, like...
it wasn't a one moment per se.
And it was, and then just again, sometimes whenever there would be anything from religion that was negative, like against gay marriage mm-hmm. or things like that, whenever it was used in that way, that was like another thing that like further would push me away of like, oh,
totally. Yeah.
It's not even being used for good.
Yeah.
Sometimes. Sometimes it is. And it can, all religions, I think, in their best are amazing. And they mm-hmm. kind of just teach you to be nice to other people. And then
right.
some people flip it and they're like, well, if you're not being the way that I think is nice, now you're bad and you should be punished. Like,
yeah, eternally.
Yeah.
Yeah. That never
in a fire poked by a guy.
It just never made sense to me. I mean, I'm lucky that Presbyterians are fairly like not angry people.
Yeah.
Like they're and I don't really remember hell being talked about that much.
Yeah,
it was definitely not focus. But I remember every time it would come up, I'm like, I just don't buy that.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make any sense.
It's really selfish too. Like you're so worried about someone else's afterlife.
Right. Right.
Like, what? Just worry about what, if you believe there's an afterlife, you get to where you got to go.
And mm-hmm. I'm
like, but what about this guy who's stealing stuff down the street? Does he get to go where I go? You better not. better go to a shitty place.
Yeah. And then they're like, but what about the person that this is the classic one that like started challenging that was like, well, did Gandhi go to hell?
Yeah.
Or like, you know,
well,
somebody didn't believe.
I actually even just think like even Hitler,
right.
one of the worst people ever.
Mm-hmm.
Does he deserve to eternally be like in hell? Because like after like a billion years, is that not enough?
For,
or like
for sure.
3 billion, like a trillion years, is he still like you still gotta pay your dues, man? You killed a lot of people.
Right. I mean, we can all agree that if there was somebody who did deserve it,
it
would be
exactly.
him. But does anybody deserve it?
I do think that that's kind of crazy, because even I'm in kind of a sense of Hitler or whatever. I think most people are just kind of people, and then something happens along the way and they get damaged, they get maybe there's something mentally wrong with them, and this and that, and then it's then when they die, like almost should all be kind of okay, well, let's think about it now. Like, think, maybe you get a year for every year you took away from someone,
mm-hmm.
plus like all the torture you did and all
right.
the, you know, times 10
mm-hmm.
and then there there's your life sentence.
So
but like eternal is forever.
Just a simple 6 billion years for Hitler would be enough. That is interesting, because you know they talk all the time with like the kids, like we are pretty, I don't know, people, this is not it's not quantifiable by any means, but we're 50% maybe nature versus nurture. Like we're 50% nature, 50% nurture.
Yeah.
Somewhere in there, like we're born with an inherent set of traits, but then also our environment.
Yeah, that's
decides
what I
who we are.
Think.
Yeah, and so at what point in there does my like? I mean, this is a classic question of how much free will do we really have?
Mm-hmm.
How much of an like and. If we're all going, if this isn't like the end place for us anyway, if there also is a better place where, I mean, this is maybe an awful, I don't know if this is even an awful thing to say, but like if Hitler's killing 6 million people and they all go to heaven, well then is it really that bad of a thing
what
he did?
Yeah, he sent them to a better place.
Right. Now,
that's his argument. Come on.
I'm just speeding it along.
They were nice people. I thought they should go.
Yeah, I just.
That's a horrible Hitler impression.
Really?
It made him Jewish, which I don't know.
Really? They should be thanking me.
Yeah.
Hitler.
It wasn't me.
He gave a lot of speeches like that. That's how he rose to power. Yeah. No, I mean, I don't personally believe that And well, again, no, we're all guessing on what is actually happening.
I mean, there's definitely a scale to it. I don't think anyone's innocent of everything they've done. But I think if you're a god and you're looking at these little creatures you've created, and one of them's fucking them all up, you're gonna maybe punish them. But then at the end of the day, you're like, I still created this guy. I don't know. And I'm just gonna throw him in the trash for the rest of eternity.
Right. Well, I think one of the common things about the best case religion, like best case scenarios for most religions, or I don't know, the best versions of religions that I think resonate with me, and I would guess a lot of people, is the idea that God is love, and God is like perfect love.
That's kind of always how it was in my family. I'd say.
God is unconditional love, and we should aspire to be as unconditional loving as possible, even though it's really hard for humans to unconditionally love people. And so, God would have compassion towards
exactly
Hitler.
That the God that I've kind of been raised with. And then, I think some people have a more vengeful God and a more angry God. I've never connected with that God.
No, me either. And because you just sense the fear coming out of that person. And it just
seems silly to me. Like, I think if God is a father or mother or whatever, a parent, if you were to look at your children when they're three.
Yeah.
And whatever bad things they do, if you're really going to hold them to that, it's kind of silly because you're on this higher plane than they are.
Right.
And you're like, oh, you bad, you're dead. Put you in the corner for the rest of your life.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just like a weak version of God for him to be like that petty.
Yeah.
You know? It's
like he brought us all in here. He's creating this weird world.
And he's going to give us vague instructions that are confusing and contradictory, and he's not going to give them to everybody.
And he holds grudges. That's pretty weak.
So I'm with you there. Now, did you ever have a conversation with your parents about I'm not really super Catholic / I'm not really into this thing anymore?
I don't really think so. I think maybe they might have heard just through my act a little bit, but even in my act, I don't think I'm very, I don't really say what I am.
Yeah.
I just kind of make some jokes about stories in the Bible and just things like that. But I don't think I've ever really completely said that to them, which I think it might make them bummed if I really, there's no point in that for me to.
Yeah.
It's okay if they think I'm, but I also think as they've gotten older, they've gotten a little bit less religious.
Yeah.
Like my mom, I don't know when the last time she's been to church.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she prays a lot. Anytime we have something going on in the family, she's like, I'll pray.
Mm-hmm.
I'll do the rosary. She'll do kind of in her own space, which is kind of how I like religion.
Yeah.
I think it should. I mean, it's nice that there's a communal aspect, but I think that it seems like it's more of a private thing, especially if nobody knows what's right, to just be like, I'm going to be in my room and meditate or something.
Right. Yeah. Well, there should definitely, I don't know, be levels of it, I guess. I hate saying the word should ever. Anytime I say it, I'm like, I trigger a little pop up in my brain. Like, why the fuck did you just say should? There are definitely different levels of, the personal versus the communal. And it's funny. I told my parents before I left, because I'm from North Carolina, and I told them before I moved out here that I didn't believe in the faith.
Goodbye.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to be it wasn't hedonistic California did this to
just
me.
Just so you know, I'm already not believing.
Yeah. But now I'm kind of wondering, was it really even that necessary to get into it? I don't know.
Yeah. And I think I kind of think that they probably could just pick it up throughout the years of.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not against any religion, or I don't necessarily think any of them are wrong or more wrong than another one. I don't have a strong feeling. Even in my album, I talk about how I'm not identify with being an atheist because I feel like that's too harsh.
Yeah. What's that smug factor? Yeah. That's just such a turnoff.
Nope. He's not there. Everybody shut up.
Yeah. Ugh, I hate it. I think to my parents, they're still very religious in that. They're religious in the sense that they go to church. I think they probably, I've had to guess, again, I'm not going to speak for them, but I've had to guess, just so I'm picking up reading the tea leaves and their vibe, that they take it less literally maybe than they used to. Mm-hmm. And I can't really I can't blame anybody who grew up pre-internet, 70s, 80s, for just believing that, this is the literal word of God. Because that's the only reason I had to believe, I didn't look into this when I was a kid. You're just of course this is the word of God. Yeah, everybody told me.
Someone like my mom, who I'm pretty sure is very pro gay marriage and things like that, where it's like, I feel like after a while, even if you're believing in something, if you're the thing you believe in is starting to be used in a negative way, it's hard to be super strict about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're slowly going, well, I don't believe in that part.
Mm-hmm.
And then, oh, okay, well, I believe, oh, I don't, well, I don't like that one either.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, I think that's okay when people do that.
Mm-hmm.
But
to pick and choose.
Yeah, a little bit, because again, my parents are different, so I'm like, oh, sometimes I'll pick a little bit of this, pick a little bit of that. Like with Islam, I mean, you never really hear like the good things about it right now,
because
there's so much like negative feelings towards it. But like with Islam, there's a huge part about giving to the poor. It's very much about giving to people that are like less fortunate than you, which I think is a beautiful lesson.
Yeah, and it is. I spent some time in Turkey studying abroad, and it was because I ended up being a religious study major in college, and so we got sort of immersed in that. It's, I mean, granted, it's sort of like the America of the Muslim world.
Yeah.
That it's like 50, like everybody's like nominally
a
Muslim, but like maybe 50% are like super into it. But it is, it's so interesting actually seeing a mosque, like seeing mosques that are total compounds as they were historically, where they were meant to not just be a place to worship, but they had, that was where you went to school.
Community.
That was, that's where they fed everybody. Mm-hmm. They had these huge ass kitchens.
Yeah.
And then these like mosque courtyards.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's you're right.
Cool.
That tradition is not talked about.
Yeah.
Cause we hear the cartoon version of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then obviously the terrorists who use it as this,
right.
It's so funny. It's such a, it makes no sense when they talk about it.
You're right.
It's like, that's clearly, like, that would be like being a terrorist and saying you're a Christian terrorist.
Exactly.
Like, it's just not aligning with what's actually
the
foundation of that religion.
It's the Westboro Baptists, but just they're just way bigger.
Yeah. There's, it's like you can take, you can find passages in the Bible about vengeance and things like that. But
easily.
To say that that's what the religion is about is really being ignorant about it.
Totally. Well, and that's you know, the word Islam means surrender.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't mean like submission. It doesn't even mean surrender to me.
Yeah.
It's surrendering
to God. Yeah.
Right. And you know, I think what a lot of religions get at, and even like Sam Harris, are you familiar with him? He's an atheist, kind of like one of the four. Mm-hmm. He's like one of the four new atheists, like four horsemen of the apocalypse type nice. Things. Like, but he's definitely a hardcore atheist, super logical guy. But he even has a version of spirituality where it's just, he's like, whatever, like spirituality is basically just remembering that your ego is an illusion at some level.
I like that.
That you're, that the narrative of like capital I, me, my life is not the entire picture of the world. That the other people have, we all have our own points of view and that it's, the world's bigger than me. And that's what I feel like is what all religions at their best are getting at through the practice of it is getting to a surrender of the ego to the greater whole.
Yeah, I like
to
that.
The greater energy, the connection, whatever, you know, not just surrender to like a patriarchal dude.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
You told me to go to work today.
I
gotta go to work.
Yeah. Well, it's like, I think about that too with like performing. My best, my worst sets, my worst, but not just even comedy, but just performing in general, it's always when I'm the most in my head and most thinking of what am I doing, like what me, like we're just like thinking in that framework, not even in a malevolent way, but I'm just like anxiety inducing. And the best ones are the opposite, where it's just a total flow state,
and you're just kind of with the crowd,
right? You're in it, you're not you don't have time to think, and you're not thinking.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, have you experienced that too?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. A lot of times you're funniest when you're not trying, or you're just letting it happen.
Yeah.
Versus when you're going like, okay, what should I say next? Or
how do I
win them over?
Yeah.
What will I have to do for them to like me?
Right. Right. Do you have anything that like actually gets you into that space? Or do you have an idea of like what leads to you being in that mindset versus the opposite?
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's like a weird cocktail of a lot of things. Part of it is not caring too much.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you just like realize that if the show goes bad, it's okay.
Uh-huh.
So that kind of has to be there. Like if you are not okay with the show going bad or just not going great, then it probably won't happen.
Mm.
Usually if the audience just laughs at something, that kind of kicks me into it. You're like, okay, they like me. They're on my side.
Right.
They want me to be cool.
You're ready to go.
Yeah. Or sometimes something weird happening, like in the moment that kind of pops you out of it. So you're actually just reacting to something in a way that you would off stage.
Yeah.
Like maybe someone says something or maybe a thing falls or something on the stage looks goofy and just makes you think of something.
Yeah.
Now you're like,
present.
Yeah, you're out of your head and you're like, oh, look at this thing that we're all looking at together or hearing together or seeing together.
Right. It's that instant connection. That yeah. Forming an instant bond. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess that's why people like to like riff off the top too.
Yeah.
For that same reason. It's getting out of the fucking head and the expectations game.
And you can let the audience guide you a little bit into where they want to be.
Yeah.
Without this kind of pre-set up bit that you're like, here, bananas are stupid. Yellow, green.
Right.
No, nobody likes it.
What?
But you could, versus like just saying, like, oh, how's everybody doing? Cool. Oh, blah, blah, blah.
And then bananas finding, are green.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, bananas are green.
Yeah, that's so, the expectations thing I think about all the time too, of like trying to become more outcome independent. And that's what I do like about religion, I think. Before I was even thinking about it on this level, it gives you if you have a backbone of like, God loves me, I'm perfect the way I, like, regardless of whether I fuck up,
yeah,
I'm still going to be okay.
Yeah, for sure. You know?
And so I do miss having something concrete like that.
Yeah. I kind of almost family has replaced that for me where it's like, I'm not as afraid of everything not going well. Cause you're like, well, I still have my family. My family is still going to family and friends still going to be there. Even if this show goes bad, even if I don't get the thing that I'm trying to get, like the audition or whatever, or the special or something, if I don't get it, I still go home and have fun with my family.
Yeah.
We'll have the holidays. We'll hang out.
Yeah, it's that you're right. It's that baseline of love, basically.
Yeah for sure.
And you just got married recently.
Yeah, yeah. I just got married in March.
Wow, congratulations. Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah. And so that... I mean, did you feel, in terms of like, was it a double-edged thing? I'm just trying to, I, as somebody who's not married, never been married, I don't know, what it's like. With, in terms of the guise of family being like this background of loving and support, did it feel like that base of support just doubled and expanded? Or did you feel like, do you feel almost a pressure like, oh, I gotta be awesome for her side of the family?
I kind of feel like the first, like it kind of expanded and everyone had such a great time together and it was really cool. And I really like her family and she really likes my family. So that's kind
great.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, obviously you still want to impress them.
Sure. Yeah.
I tell them about my album and stuff and like, hey, look, I got this thing. It's cool. Right. Like, I'm doing okay. but yeah, I don't think that I'm not like on the chopping block with them. Like better prove it, buddy.
And are they religious? I think you said in the special
she's
a Polish Jew. Background.
Her dad was the Jewish side, but he's really, I don't think, religious at all.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of just like a vagabond. and I think her mom was like Christian. I'm not sure exactly what, maybe Catholic, but
she's not super.
Yeah, she never it doesn't really come up a lot about. I remember. Her mom passed away when she was 9.
Mm.
And I know like when she was in high school, there was like a year where she just joined a religious thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she got like crazy religious for like a year and then just like snapped out of it. It was like, whoa, what was that? It was like, that's the only thing I really can think of what she talked about. But yeah, she doesn't really talk about going to church or anything like that.
Sounds like taking improv basically.
Yeah. She's like, I'm going to join an improv group.
This is about the best thing ever. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, this doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah. But she did like, the reason she did it was because she said she made a lot of friends there. It was cool. Mm. So like that part was cool. She liked it where she was just like, but then I think maybe it was her dad or someone. She just started maybe getting some of the negative parts of like the judging or the like.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, I don't want to do that.
I don't want that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So have you guys talked about like what you would raise your kids as if you have, I don't even know if
your kids
are on the docket or anything, but
we've talked about it a little bit. I think we're both not exactly sure. Like I kind of want to, I'm not sure how possible it is. You know, you have plans and then when the kid comes out, you're like, oh, it's not working.
Yeah.
But I want to let them almost decide for themselves or kind of tell them what's out there.
Yeah.
And tell them, you know, like maybe it'll be like, oh, your grandfather is Muslim, your mom's thing. And then almost most of the time I want to end it with like a question. Like, well, what do you think is out there?
Mm.
But I also don't want to just leave him hanging. If they're like, Dad, what happens when I die? Like, am I just going to go into darkness? And, you know, I'll be like, well, I don't think so. This is what I think.
Yeah.
But I always kind of want to let them know that I think.
Of course, yeah.
I think, and I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Unless it's like, and if that's not going right, and they're just like, they just can't handle it, and they're like, I need you to tell me what's happening.
Yeah.
I'll maybe pick something.
Give me something solid.
Yeah.
I have no idea what I would do. It's funny. I work with like my coworkers who are, they're not in comedy. They're just like, you know, my day job is just whatever, but mm-hmm. they like, none of them are religious, but then we talked about this. They're like, yeah, but I would like, we're going to take our kids to church. Like, we just want them to have a background. Yeah, yeah. Like, we want them to have something.
I don't mind religion being involved in their life, and I wouldn't mind encouraging it.
Yeah.
I just don't know exactly which religion and
which. Yeah.
Because I'm most familiar with the Catholic religion, it probably would be that one.
Yeah.
But again, I think I would be like, here's Catholic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure if that is the thing. There's these other religions too, and they all kind of are different ways of worshiping a higher power.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, and as my own journey has taken me, I also had a similar thing in college where I stopped believing, and it was through academically studying the Bible was my trigger of like, I've just believed this by default.
And wow, that's so interesting. Great. So studying the Bible is what led you to...
Well, I had a great professor, Dr. Bart Ehrman, who he's written some great books on like the biblical. He was a former evangelical pastor himself. And then he started like at the Wheaton College, which is like a really good Christian college. Mm-hmm. Through that, and then he's like, oh, the Bible was like politically constructed, more or less. There's like Genesis alone has four sources that academics think that it was comprised mainly of at least four sources that were then interweaved together. And then the rest of the Old Testament has like bits and pieces that were like, it jumps around from when they were historically written in BC. And then you have the Council of Nicaea, which was 300 years after Jesus died, which then picked the books of the Bible.
Huh.
And they left out some other books that they just didn't like because it didn't fit their kind of political agenda. Yeah. So as I'm learning about all this stuff, I'm just like, oh, I had no idea. And I don't have a really great reason to believe. I'm like, I'm not saying it's wrong.
Yeah.
But I've just only been my default
kind
of belief system. But so then my own thing has taken me into like Eastern stuff and far and wide, and then being kind of having an internal smug atheist stance.
Well, I'm okay with people being atheists. That's kind of against what I'm even saying, is like what I don't like about atheism is that they're almost not allowing someone else to think what they think. But I have most of my friends are atheists.
But it's the certainty aspect, that external like forcing of certainty on other people.
Yeah, it's okay to be certain themselves, but it is frustrating when you hear the like that it upsets them if someone believes, or that they think someone's stupid if they believe something.
Right, exactly.
Then you're like, well, no, let's not go there.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know, but even now, so I'm probably similar to you in that I believe in like definitely a connected energy. I'm a source kind of, because what never really totally went away for me was wondering like, well, what is the thing behind life itself?
Yeah, like, why is it here?
Yeah.
What is the universe?
Like, I believe in evolution 100%.
Me too.
But why does evolution exist? Like, why do we want to grow?
Why do we have iPhones and we're just on a floating rock in space? Like, such a weird contrast.
Or, like, why does it feel good to progress and, like, grow? Why does everything want to grow? What is the impetus behind that? Like, why do cells divide? Like, why at the total cellular level, like they just start splitting?
It just does feel like too many things are perfectly aligned in the universe to not have some kind of connection.
Yeah, and I'm not saying there's any,
it doesn't mean there's a guy pulling the strings.
Right,
it could just be as much of a connection as like an ecosystem or something like that. But it does just, I don't know.
Yeah, and then through that, I've sort of come around to, well, actually last year I found a great pastor who's now since retired over in Pasadena at All Saints Episcopalian Church, which has apparently atheists and Buddhists that also worship
there,
all kinds of different people there. But one thing that I can't remember who said this, kind of gave this idea, but it's like, even with my own current belief system, the stuff I grew up with is like the Christianity template that I had to learn all these lessons about life, even under best case scenario Christian template. That's the stuff that's the easiest for me. I have that shorthand.
Yeah, me too.
I don't need to, like, you can tell me Noah and I instantly know like the whole lesson of Noah and all that stuff. Like, I don't, whereas it's harder for me to, like, to learn about, it was harder for me to learn about Buddhism or Hinduism, where it's like there's a whole set of not only just the, like, the religious aspect, but the cultural assumptions behind that all. Yeah. And it, so it is like almost an easier way to, like, yeah, I should go to a Christian church, even if I don't really believe that Christ
just to hear
is like
some,
an immortal dude.
Some,
you know,
thoughts that you could wrap your head around.
Yeah. So I don't know. I definitely still think there's some value, and I wouldn't be shocked if I took my kids to church
too,
when
yeah.
all is said and done. But it's impossible to say at this point. So do you still currently pray or anything like that?
Yeah, I guess, I don't know if I would call it praying, but I definitely think hard. I don't think if I'm really talking to someone, and actually it would almost be more like praying to people that I know that have died. More like that. Like, we always kind of did that when we were kids, you know, like, I'll ask grandpa to bless her, like, make sure, ask grandpa for good luck. So I'm kind of more spiritual in that way, where, like, I feel more connected to, like, relatives that have passed on. And, like, my wife's mom, like, we always kind of see little signs that we kind of connect with her, like butterflies and just certain things that we kind of, when they happen in the moment, we're like, oh, that's really cool that that butterfly came right by right when we just got married or something.
Yeah, well, that's like a Catholic saints thing kind of, right?
Yeah.
Because you always prayed through Mary.
Yeah.
Not directly. Was that where you don't pray directly to Jesus or God, but you, like, say, you ask Mary to relay
so many
something.
Different rules on every different little sect of, like, the body of Christ is not the body, it's representing the body, or like,
until you start eating it, then it becomes
it is
the body.
It's like, okay, well, it's okay. And then the people don't like each other to think the slightly different thing.
Oh, yeah,
like, definitely. Oh, they're Protestant, or they're Jesuit, or they're
literally. Thousands upon thousands of people have died because they didn't believe in the same version of that.
Crazy.
Like, it's really insane when you think about it. Like, in medieval times, like, oh, we gotta fucking kill, we gotta take this back. Reformation. Well, we're almost at that time. Did I tell you the gimmick of this show where we make up a religion?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we don't have to.
Cool, I would do that.
Yeah, so it's completely, I have like a set of like bullet points.
Yeah.
This can be silly, serious.
Yeah, I want to make my own religion.
Yeah. So, again, this can be like your best case thing that you would personally want to be in or whatever. So in this made up religion, what kind of God structure do we want? Do we want a monotheistic thing like classic Christianity, Islam? Do we want kind of no God and like a Buddhist sort of sense where there's no really overarching God, or do we want like a polytheistic?
I want to go with polytheistic. I've been feeling that lately.
Yeah,
like I'll go like on a hike and I'll just be like, oh, God is in the trees, and then I'll see the sun and I'll be like, oh, God is the sun.
Yeah,
and the ocean. So I kind of like
the God of the sun.
Yeah,
and the God of the trees.
I miss that. I think it's funny that people make fun of that. Like, oh, that's crazy. They thought there was a God in the sky. It's like, but your God's not silly? Like,
yeah.
I like that.
Well, and I love nature too. I love being in nature because it is just this very, like the thing we're talking about, this whatever life is, what's driving life. It's just so purely represented
in nature.
And it's not telling you anything.
That's actually where I feel the most spiritual is nature.
Yeah.
So I feel like if there's room for it, I want to connect that with this religion.
Nature's not preaching anything at you. Nature's not saying you're wrong.
Yeah, it's just kind of in harmony with itself.
Yeah, right on. So there's a polytheistic naturalistic, I guess you would say, thing.
Yeah.
What would you want the overarching ethos, kind of main point, takeaway thing to be of this religion? Like the thesis statement, or like with Christianity, it would be like God sent a son to die for us, and then whatever.
Maybe something like just like let each other be, just kind of
be,
just relax, and just let go.
Yeah, right.
Don't
on.
Try to force people to do what you want them to do, and don't fight each other as much as possible.
Right on.
Was that right?
No, that's okay. Right on. Yeah, yeah. I don't want to like, I don't know what else to that. Like,
I was like trying to make sure that was the right like response to the question.
Yeah, yeah. I just don't, it'd be weird for me to like put words in your mouth. Yeah, yeah. Like, oh yeah, but what if we also did this?
But so yeah, I would say just kind of this of just letting it be.
Cool. Are there any rules or sense of sin or do's or don'ts in this thing?
Don't harm other people.
Mm-hmm.
Don't harm other people. Whenever possible, love other people, love everyone that mm-hmm. you interact with.
Can we date in high school?
You can date in high school.
Yes.
No sexual guilt.
Mm-mm.
You know, as long as it's consensual.
Right. big caveat.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah. That goes against the harming other people.
Of course. Yeah.
So yeah, no harming other people. We love each other.
Mm-hmm.
And,
we can, yeah. Dating in high school, we can dance, we can...
And also maybe, like, don't take advantage of other people.
Mm.
So that kind of, maybe, like, kind of opposing the let it be. Like, I think the let it be could sound a little hippie and can sound a little, like, don't worry about it. Mm. Like, I think, like, you know, taking responsibility for yourself.
Yeah, and that not taking advantage of other people, that's a big one where it's really, you really have to self-police yourself on that one.
Which is, I think, another Islam thing is
really?
No usury. They're really against usury.
Oh, I've never heard
usury.
Of that.
Yeah.
Usury being, like, the using of other people.
Oh, well, it's like banks and interest and things like that, I think. Or, like, they're not, like, suing people in Islam, I think.
Okay. I have heard, like, the loan thing. You can't charge a Muslim interest? Is
yeah,
it
it's
is?
Like, and if, I think a few... places now do charge interest, but it has to be like very low interest.
Yeah.
So like they're very against that, like taking advantage of
like loan shark shit. Yeah.
So I like that.
I like that a lot too. It's and it's like, it's so, you know, one thing where if you don't have, I don't know, a moral code. I know lots of atheists who absolutely have a moral code.
Yeah, for sure.
Even like guys, do you know Miles K?
Yeah,
he was like he was on the podcast. He was like raised like a moral atheist, like raised in a specific
Jack
like,
Robichaud too.
Yeah, right on. Yeah. And
huge moral compass, but just was raised atheist.
Yeah, but and if you don't have that, it's very easy to start like kind of like telling yourself little white lies. Well, it's okay if I use somebody in this instance,
because
it's going to be for my in the long run. It's for everybody's own good. Mm-hmm. But what's that? The road to hell is paid with good intentions or something like that. Yeah. Anyway, are there any holy texts in this religion, whether that's a book or a magazine, a blog, a pamphlet?
Yeah, I guess Planet Earth, the TV series.
I love that.
Watch that.
That's a great documentary.
Maybe I really like Harry Potter, the books. Mm. I like Dumbledore.
Yeah.
And I kind of like the way he sees life a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that, Harry Potter.
He's definitely a god-ish figure.
Like the way he acts. So kind of...
So Harry Potter.
Yeah. Like it's not a Harry Potter religion, but it's like, read Harry Potter and, you know, just kind of check out Dumbledore. See how he is. He's got his own flaws, you know. Sometimes he uses people a little bit, but but he seems to try not to.
But ultimately, he's got everybody's back.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there any... what in this religion would there be any kind of, whether it was weekly, monthly, yearly, whether you want to call it a worship or a get together, a gathering of any kind?
Yeah, I'd say it's all about going outside in the woods or the beach or getting to nature at least once a week, when possible with family. And it's okay also to go by yourself.
Okay. So everybody get to nature once a week.
Go outside, breathe some fresh air.
Uh-huh.
Put away your phone and try to, maybe take a break from technology.
Mm-hmm.
You can take some pictures if you want,
but
try to unplug.
And not everybody, you don't have to all be there at the same time, or do you?
Yeah, you don't have to,
okay,
but you can encourage.
Yeah.
And also if someone does have their phone, don't get too mad at them. Cause I feel like religion, you know, could usually get away if you don't have the like, say,
kill
try,
that
try
man
to unplug.
With the phone.
He's a phone. Phone is bad.
Right on. Is there any, since there's often music, in religions, is there any sense of music or, whether it's modern, ancient, the chanting lyric stuff?
I'd say like, when people like listen to like nature sounds to go to bed, it's like that. So yeah. Like running water, anything with water in it, I think. Mm. Like
moving water.
Fountain. Yeah.
Yeah. Right on. I need to. Like I feel
a trickle
like,
or something.
I feel like I should listen to that more often to go to bed. I usually put on like a podcast or something.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's always, this is, I have like a sweet spot of stuff I have to fall asleep to because it's like a podcast that I'm slightly interested in, but not yeah. super interested in. Because uh-huh. then if I'm too interested, I want to listen, I want to hear when I'm awake and it will keep me awake and that thing. All right. So, Nate, so running water.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any prayer or meditation, whether it's self guided or led prayer meditation or anything like that?
Yeah, I'd say kind of just yoga.
Yoga, yeah.
So yoga.
Mm-hmm.
So
do you do yoga?
I have in the past. I don't do it anymore. I should probably. I would like to
yeah.
at one point fit that in my schedule.
Yoga is the constant thing where I'm yeah. like, so I, should, like I should be doing
meditating with a little bit of the movement and stuff like that. I think it kind of is a great way to center yourself.
Oh, 100%. I mean, it definitely, when you start doing it, you don't. For some reason, it doesn't feel like it's meditative until you're like deep into it.
Yeah. And,
like,
and then there's oh. the breathing.
Yeah.
So all that stuff would be, I think, a great. And actually, it's very similar to the way that you pray in Islam.
Oh, really?
It is very like motion based.
Oh, I never thought about that. Yeah.
You stand, you kneel, you put your hands down, you get on your knees, mm-hmm. you put your head on the floor, you get back up. So it is like kind of acrobatic or anaerobic. What's like the aerobic?
Well, aerobic, I know it involves breathing, and anaerobic involves like you like exercise, like breathing, breath, like lifting weights is considered anaerobic because it's not
yeah, okay.
taking breath to do it.
So one of those.
Hopefully, there's no physical trainers listening to this right now.
They're just, I hate your religion.
Turn this shit off right now. All right, so yoga. Are there any sense? Is there any a special time or moment for apologies or repentance or any
yeah,
kind of?
Sure.
Yeah.
I'd say I'm gonna keep Christmas. all the trees and the presents part,
uh-huh.
And the Santa Claus and even want Jesus can be in there too.
Okay,
but maybe on that day you also atone.
Gotcha. So you get gifts and then you say, but you should be sorry for some shit too.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Right on. what do we? I guess where, first of all, where we already said nature.
Uh-huh.
So there's no, it's kind of structureless. Is there any need for money? Do we have anybody who has to like organize this or?
That's complicated. It would be nice to gather some money to help poor people and people in need.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think maybe there's like a.
Like a Kickstarter.
Yeah. Like you can donate. There's like a donation thing and then the money goes to just people who are hungry and okay. people who are sick and stuff like that.
Okay. Is there any kind of like youth group or like special like separation of youth for like, a, you know, like whether yeah. it's in that.
Yeah. Maybe like a kind of like almost like a Boy Scout type camping type
oh,
thing.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah.
So like there's like youth meets like that where you go out with all the people in your uh-huh. age and you go camping for like
yeah,
a week or something.
You learn how to be in nature.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to learn like how to dig a hole, catch a fish,
uh-huh.
stuff like that. Yeah.
Cool. Is there, and we already said kind of, we had the next part was like kind of service and mission work. So it was giving to the poor.
Yeah. So yeah, you yeah. try to give to others.
Mm-hmm. Is there any outreach, evangelism, marketing aspect to this? Getting the word out.
Yeah, maybe if you know someone who needs like something in their life, take uh-huh. them on a hike.
Yeah.
You don't have to push the belief system, but just take them.
Dan,
take
you
them with you.
You seem like you've been indoors a lot recently.
Yeah, want to come on a walk with me?
Let me.
Are you trying to push your walking religion on me? No. Just come with me.
I just want you to know the beautiful nature I know. cool. And what, maybe this is the last and maybe hardest part. What title is there? What kind of, what would you call it?
About, I want to say like Om or something or like,
I mean, nothing wrong with Om.
How about trees and ocean and waves and nature? I'm going to call it. Om.
Right on, man. Can't really improve upon Om.
Yeah.
Well, we did it.
Cool.
We made it.
Nice. Well, I want to follow that religion.
Yeah, dude. It's going to get started right now.
I'm going to start using it to control people.
No, yeah. No.
This would be a great control.
After all this, no. Well, dude, thanks so much for coming
thanks,
over.
Thanks, man. This was fun.
It's great. Where would you... I found your special in a couple different places, iTunes and Google Play. Where would you like people to get your album? And
I think iTunes was the best place for me.
Okay.
And if you can, even if you don't want to get on iTunes, you can listen to it on Spotify, I think.
Okay.
But go to iTunes and rate it and review it, because that helps me and it helps the album stay on top of some list on iTunes somewhere.
In the special Comedy Central.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Area. And then, yeah, I guess you can also check my website, ahmedbarucha.com. Barucha is BHAROOCHA. And then I'm Ahmed Barucha on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
Right on. Well, thanks so much, dude.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me.
This is great. And that's the show. Once again, thank you so much to Ahmed Barucha. Check out his album, Almond Badouti, on iTunes and Spotify, Google Play, other places. iTunes helps him the most, and leave a rating and review on that. And while you're leaving rating and reviews, why don't you leave one for this podcast, too? Either way, whatever you do, whatever your walk of life is, peace be with you, and I hope you want it to also be with me. Namaste.
What's a creative podcast network?